Welcome to the Talk Radio Countdown Show with Doug Steffen, counting down what America's talking about.
The Talk Radio Countdown.
Yes, the music from the Talk Radio Countdown Show at 6, almost 7 after the hour. I'm Doug Steffen here with Michael Harrison, the editor and publisher of Talkers Magazine, to go through the charts originated by Talkers Magazine at talkers.com for the week of January 10th to the 14th, all the top 10 stories and the people that are on the list as well. Some pretty sobering information this week and names that kind of sober us up too, Michael, when you go through the list, especially looking at the, well, I don't know, all the things back and forth. We have so many changes every week, and you did such a great job of chronicling what's going on. As you go through the story list and the people list, I'm sure there are things that we will talk about, because there always are when it comes to this and the whole world of News Talk Radio. So welcome in. Shall we start with the lists?
Okay, we are chroniclers, and can you believe we're halfway through January already? It's amazing how the time marches on. At number 10, we have a bunch of celebrity deaths, and that's tied with the National Football League playoff picture. At number 9, we have the sex scandal of Prince Andrew of the UK. Winter weather and climate change are at number 8. Number 7, social media, free speech, and privacy. And number 6, U.S.-China-Russia relations. At number 5, crime and violence and police funding. At number 4, voter legislation and race relations, very tied together. At number 3, the January 6th investigation, tied with the 2022 midterm elections. That's this year, hard to believe. At number 2, the economy, inflation, supply chain, labor shortage, all that good stuff. And at number 1, COVID-19, the Omicron variant, vaccines, masks, mandates, and school closings, or the fear of school closings. And that's the those are the 10 stories that make up the top stories. The people on our list, at number 10, Bob Saget and Ronnie Spector. At number 9, Prince Andrew and Boris Johnson. At number 8, Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi. Mitch McConnell's at 7. Hillary Clinton is at number 6. Donald Trump is at number 5. Kevin McCarthy at 4. A tie between Rand Paul and Roger Marshall at 3. The subject of their ire is Dr. Anthony Fauci, who's at number 2. And Joe Biden is at number 1. And there you go. Snapshot of the week's activities, the stories, and the people that are on the tongues of Americans who like to yap.
In the companion piece to the Talk Radio Countdown Show, we have the DJV folks talking about the is a companion piece to this, talking about the issues as well. And one of the members of the crew suggested that we have a WWW or whatever, World, what is it? World Wrestling Federation, WWF. We have a match.
WWE, World Wrestling Entertainment. The WWF is the World Wildlife Federation, and they took the name back from Vince McMahon, right, and he changed it to WWE.
Thank you for that. I had forgotten that, actually. Yeah. So the ladies suggested we have a grudge match between Rand Paul and Anthony Fauci as the two of them were back and forth.
Where's she been?
It is. It's silly. It's become silly. One of the things that affected, I think, you and I and people our age this week was the passing, well, the number of people that have passed. Ronnie Spector really hit me right where it hurts. I always loved the Ronettes and the story of her and how the wall of sound was created and what she did with it. I've seen her 3 or 4 times in person. And so we all find things that sober us up, and maybe even more so the Bob Saget passing at 65, which sort of caught people off guard. I mean, I suppose anybody, when you, especially at that age when you pass, then everybody's looking at your.
Well, they're not sure
history.
What happened. I mean, maybe by now, maybe I've missed it, but as of this moment,
no,
have they figured out why?
No, not really. They thought it might be a heart attack, but there's no. The wife has asked for an autopsy, I think, or. Somebody did, and that hasn't become public yet that I've seen. But it just, you know, it's all of this stuff is sobering, and there has been so much of it since the 1st of January. You know, so many people who are of note have passed away, and then, you know, It's beginning
Dwayne Hickman. Do you remember him? He
died. Of course. Dobie Gillis. Good Lord.
Dobie Gillis and sports figures at the end of the year, Betty White and John Madden right at the end of the year. And Dan Reeves, a very highly respected retired football coach. He died this year. In the last 2 weeks, you know, there have been a number of celebrity passings. And
Some
people that may not be that famous, but that were also historically and culturally relevant. I mean, there's a whole list. So, I mean, it's part of the passing parade. It's part of life.
It is. Boris Johnson is number 9. Yeah. This guy, I was listening to NPR the other day, and they had the audio of him basically lying through his teeth about the parties that were being thrown at 10 Downing Street. And then you listen, it's so entertaining to listen to the Brits do the same thing that we do over here, but it's the accent. And they're going after Boris because of these parties, and he basically lied about them, and so the opposition wants him to resign. And the story led you to believe that he might. And so it there's a certain entertainment value, even if it's bad news, right? I mean,
Entertainment value. There's a huge entertainment value in following the news, and bad news is perhaps just as engaging, if not more so, as good news. Yeah. You know, what does the word entertainment mean?
Question. And a lot of people think it means laughing. If you're entertained, you're having fun, and it's not. It's capturing your attention. Prince Andrew at number 8, another perfect example of capturing the imagination of people. You know, realizing what a lech this guy has been and how tied up he was with Epstein. And yet he was a royal, but the queen took care of him.
She fired him.
They blew him out.
They took away his Royal Highness stature and all of his connections and all that. He was basically fired from his job with the firm, a family business.
So it is a family business. So it's like Blue Bloods, the police. You ever watch that show?
I'm aware of it. I only watched a few minutes of it.
It's a good show.
No, I have not really seen
it. It's a good show. Family business is being a policeman. Number 7, right. Well, there are a lot of people who get into politics of family business. Nancy Pelosi's got all her relatives in California, including the governor, who's her nephew. She's trying to be as influential as she has been. Now, there's an entertainment quotient. The two of them, Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, come in at number 8 this week, I think it is, on the list. And what in the world, you know, you look at them and they're yammering back and forth. They say that, you ever notice this? Well, I'm sure you have. They say the same thing all the time. It's the same. You could have a recording of those two or any that are on this list for the last 10 years, and it's pretty much the same year to year, month to month. It's just the same old stuff. And
most people do that.
most
people say the same thing all the time.
I hope that's not the case with us, Michael.
Oh, no, please. We're completely fresh and original every minute. But
that's it.
No, everybody has their shtick. It's amazing how few talking points it takes to create a repertoire and go through life. Some people have made a career out of doing one thing or two things, you know.
Right. Yeah, I suppose that's true. Don Rickles. It was the same shtick all the time, right? It's the same thing over and over. And yet people found it amusing. Yeah, that's a great point. Number 6, Mitch McConnell. Apparently there's no love lost at the moment between him and Lindsey Graham. Lindsey says, I'm not supporting you for the speaker or the leader of the Republicans of the Senate if you don't like Trump.
The question is, how will Trump play out over the next 2.5 years?
Prediction from you?
I don't have a prediction. I had the question. The question is the statement. The main driving, you know, entertainment, if you will, aspect of political prognostication is what role will Trump play as the months grind on and the years grind on and things change and we get closer to the midterms and then we turn around and get closer to the presidential election of 2024. There's going to be intrigue on both sides.
You want a prediction? I have a prediction.
Give me your prediction.
All right. Hillary Clinton's number 5 or 6. She's on number 6 on the people list this week because there are people touting her as the next, the only viable Democrat that can win in 2024. And Joe Manchin is becoming quite a thorn in the side of pretty much everybody, but he's getting everybody's attention. I see Hillary Clinton running with Joe Manchin in 2024. What do you say to that?
I was the first figure in the talk media to bring that up a few weeks ago.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I should get an award. Of course, it may not happen. But it's very, very possible that Hillary Clinton will be back in the game. And, you know, people, oh, no, she's so unpopular. Well, it ain't the first time somebody is unpopular.
You think Trump's that popular? Trump's very unpopular.
Hillary Trump, too. Wouldn't that be funny? Entertaining.
Whether it be, I mean, somebody
described it as a nightmare.
No, but we're back to talking about entertaining and what's entertaining, and that kind of stuff is for many people, whether you're an avid political watcher or not. You know, that sort of stuff on its surfaces, it's just, you know, how do you ignore that sort of thing? I'd like to see Rand Paul run for national office.
Why?
Because I think he's an interesting character. And his points of view, many of it, I guess maybe because I agree with a lot of stuff. And so when you agree with someone, you think, okay, yeah, that guy'd be great. And maybe he wouldn't be because he's too singularly focused. But anyway, it's all speculation, which we have a lot of here in the talk radio room. Michael Harrison and Doug Steffen at 17 after the hour.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
It's 23 after the hour now on the Talk Radio Countdown Show, the official overview of what's cooking in the world of news talk radio. Some of your favorite hosts profiled here. I was looking, Michael Harrison, the editor and publisher of Talkers, is here. I'm Doug Steffen. I was looking at an overview of ratings for various programs around the country and how they're doing and what the criteria is and the confusion that exists, Michael, between people. You and I addressed this. I think we used Howard Stern as an example a few years ago when we were addressing the same sort of thing. What's going on music radio in the morning isn't really music for the most part. It's conversation and, you know, there are usually three or four people on the air. So is that considered, do you think that what goes on those programs is real talk radio? And if it is or if it isn't, how do we, as you, as the editor of Talkers Magazine, how would you define for people what a real talk radio host is?
Well, to me, that's a no-brainer. Of course it's real talk radio. It's all talk radio. Talk radio, I define talk radio as anything where the spoken word element is the major reason people tune in, as opposed to hearing music. And that includes all news, that includes sports, includes public radio, it includes commercial news talk radio, conservative, liberal, and then on FM music stations, if you have what used to be called shock jocks, I call them culture talk show hosts, pop culture, celebrity gossip. To me, it's all talk radio and it's all part of what we cover at Talkers. It just happens that one of the most popular genres of talk radio is news talk radio, which is predominantly conservative, not completely, and is predominantly political, but not completely. That's one of the most popular ones. That's the format that we base this survey on. But we don't delude ourselves into thinking that that's the only real talk radio. Now, Howard Stern is very real talk radio, as was Imus, and as are all those sports shows, and all those wonderful chat shows that exist all across the country on music stations where they do predominantly, in some cases, they don't play any records and they talk. Well, that's talk.
Yep. And we're talking a lot. Those people are talking about the same thing we are. The problem with nurses, for example, and the burnout as it relates to the number one story this week on the countdown, COVID-19, the variant, and how it is, some people, I was talking to a friend of mine last night who went to Miami with a few of his friends for last weekend, and he had a great time, didn't notice any COVID. But to listen to Dr. Ken Kronhaus, who's associated with the DJV program, he's up in Orlando. He said things are a nightmare. People are getting Omicron and you know, the way it's affecting the economy there, back and forth, because that's Disneyland. And people still now are thinking, even though people want to get out of the house, they still think twice about going to Disneyland or getting on a cruise or even getting on an airplane. I've been on an airplane every weekend for the last month and a half and will be again this weekend. And I wear a 95 and N95 mask, and I haven't been affected by it, although Kronhaus says he thinks I've had it and I didn't know I had it, which
possible.
Is fine with me. Yeah.
You know, you may have had it and you don't know you had it, and then you might also not have immunity. I mean, we don't even know whether or not the immunity, you know, there's natural immunity from having had it, or if there is, how long it lasts.
Yeah.
There's
right.
so many unknowns attached to this pandemic that it's very foolish to, you know, think you have the answer. So you got to be careful.
Just well, what are the questions? There are more, many more questions. There are answers, and people are getting impatient because they think those who are quote unquote an authority should know. Why should they know any more than you know? This, you know, because it's changing so quickly, right?
Well, I mean, the medical establishment is always in a situation of facing the unknown and change. Whenever you have any kind of a diagnosis, a lot of people say get a second opinion. And usually doctors go along with it and say, yeah, go ahead, get a second opinion. This is not something that is set in stone. So why would it be about such a terrible pandemic? That's a once in a century event.
Yeah.
Full of the unknown.
Let's hope that that's the case. 28 after the hour on the countdown. Four after the hour now. This is the weekly talk radio countdown show, an official overview. Don't you like the use of that word, official? This is good to know that you're
official. I find
official.
That a funny word.
It is.
Can I tell you a 30-second story?
Yeah,
many,
please.
Many years ago, I was hired, my company was hired to produce a major 48-hour rock and roll history special for one of the major networks. As you know, I've been behind a number of those great histories of rock and roll and all that.
Yep.
And they wanted a history of rock and roll. And there had been a number of them. There are a lot of histories of rock and roll. So I tried to do something snarky, and we came up with the name The Official History of Rock and Roll, which to me is a joke because mm-hmm. there's no such thing as an official history of anything, let alone rock and roll. Everybody has their own interpretation.
Right.
It was meant to be a joke. We were going to call it the official history of rock and roll, but it was meant to make a statement that, you know, this is just another subjective look at history. Nobody laughed. Everybody accepted it. And it was accepted by hundreds of radio stations around the country and a major company as being the official history of rock and roll simply because we said it was. And, you know, I let it go, but I always found that to be very insightful about how the word official. And think about when you watch the Super Bowl, the official truck of the Super Bowl. Well, they paid for that.
Right. Of course they're the official airline of the Patriots. Yeah.
Right. You know,
they paid
the
for
word
that. It's an ad.
The word official is one of the most distorted, misleading words in the English language. Mm-hmm. So there.
Well, my story is when I was doing afternoons in Cincinnati at WCKY back in the late 80s, the fellow who ran the radio station, one of the two really great general managers I've ever had, and I don't want to get too much into the weeds, but Tom Severino is the name. Fabulous guy. He's since passed away, but he was so clever. He'd come in and he'd just stir the pot because we were fighting against WLW, which is the great big old, like, been there forever Cincinnati station, always beats in the ratings. So a bunch of us came in to try to shake things up. And as a result of that, we became the WLW would say, we're the official news station and we're the official weather station. So Severino just changed it and said, we're the new official weather station.
Right.
We're the new official.
Well, the more official.
News.
Now,
right.
Now you want to hear. Yeah. Now, here's something for your Supernatural show.
Okay.
Tom Severino was one of the key executives involved in my story that I told you about the official history of rock and roll.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, so we told two quips off of the top of our heads back to back out of the thousands of people we've worked with in the industry.
Right.
With the same guy.
What he put it on the FM station that was in Cincy, right? Is that what he did with it?
No, he was the general manager of K-Rock in New York. which was owned by Mel Karmazin and Infinity Broadcasting. This is really inside the weeds, but maybe a few listeners out there like that. Yeah. And that was how I began. That was Mel Karmazin, who wound up, you know, heading CBS and all that.
Great legend.
Was his right-hand man.
Yeah. Yep. All right. As long as we're in the weeds a little bit, I want to talk about podcasting. And whether or not, I'm asking you because I don't know the answer to the question, and it may be in some people's minds a legitimate question. We talk about.
I'm happy to answer all questions, my child. Go ahead.
Thank you, my mentor, my liege. Yes, I think my fullness. Okay.
Go on.
So, in your overview with your staff of the top stories, do you take into account podcasting as a form of news talk radio?
Surveys, yes. On our news talk radio survey, no.
No.
There is a correlation between podcasting and the news that you that we survey on our stories. But the survey that we use on this program is basically what's being talked about on news talk radio. Mm-hmm. And, of course, any podcasting connected to that would be podcasts that emanate from news talk radio. So it's the world of news talk radio. Basically, folks, the station you're listening to now is symbolic of the kind of stations and shows that this survey addresses. However, we have other surveys, and one that's general talk of, you know, all kinds of talk shows, including those aforementioned shock jocks and FM morning shows and all that. But that does not apply to this.
So that might be on that list would be the passing of the Bachelorette, Clint Arliss.
The odds of that making our survey are less than Sidney Poitier or Ronnie Spector makes it, because the people that listen to news talk radio and the people that are on news talk radio are aware of Ronnie Spector. Mm-hmm. This is all not totally scientific or mathematical. There's a tremendous amount of subjectivity to this type of categorization. Mm-hmm. But that's what makes it an art form, as well as something that would come out of a bean counter factory.
There are a lot of artists. Some of them are national, some of them are local. We have noted, we were talking about the passing of folks in number 10. The story list this week has celebrity deaths in it. At the end of the year, I think we recounted, I'm not sure, I think it was one of the days that you weren't able to be here, all of the talk hosts who passed during the year, and who most of them passed because of COVID. And now I see that Glenn Beck has COVID, not for the first time. He's had it already, and now he's got it again. He's happy to talk about how he's unvaccinated, and he has lots of conspiracy theories about what's in the vaccine, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He says now the disease is affecting his lungs. So I wonder what that means for his future. Do you think he's worried? I don't know. I'm just sort of following this as it happens. It's been sort of on people's minds this week. He's certainly a very important national talk host on 3 hours a day in the morning for Premier. And so, you know, do people say, yeah, Glenn, you faff it out, you tough it out? Or do we look at him as saying, you're so foolish. Why did you get the vaccine? You wouldn't have gotten so sick.
A lot of people say all things. I mean, there's many points of view on it, even the point of view of how accurate is his disclosure.
Glenn Beck has
had other weird maladies in the past that looked like it was the end of him, and then all of a sudden you never hear about it again. Mm-hmm. I like Glenn Beck. He's very talented. Yeah. He's very, very smart, and he's very entertaining. But I don't know whether or not I take Glenn Beck journalistically as necessarily to be judged by... what he says.
The tribe of those who sort of beat the same drum. He was actually on with Mark Levin talking about the fact that he has COVID. He's been taking ivermectin?
Ivermectin.
And hydrochloric or whatever that is. Hydroxychloroquine. That too. He looks, you know, one of the things that I've talked about that I'm convinced from the doctor's point of view is on the money is the fact that the Chinese communists or whoever is in that laboratory engineered the virus so that those little points that are on the, if you look at pictures of the virus, There was little sticky, looked like spikes on the virus, and those were engineered because people who look at the stuff when it originally was became known to be a problem didn't have the spikes on it. So one of the feelings or theories is that
theory. Make sure to say theory so that
theory. Right. You know, yeah. One of the theories is that the spikes were on it because it gloms onto fat, and most of the people who've died are fat, heavy, have problems with diabetes. And so if you look at Glenn Beck these days, he's putting on a lot of weight. So is that his problem? I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. You look at that and make it an individual conversation, or you talk about the overall thing. And yes, they are all theories because, you know, who really knows at this point what the truth is? That's what's so hard, finding the truth in anything, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it's very that's our main quest in life is to seek truth. Mm-hmm. And truth is very subjective. Truth is nebulous. It's ethereal. It's mercurial. It's hard to grab. And but it's seeking truth. It's being open to truth. It's loving the idea of truth that really is the truth. It's the awareness that truth is something we should lean toward and seek. You know, that is in fact a truth unto itself.
One of the things I find most amusing, you talk about entertaining, is that these guys who are all in the same circle keep interviewing each other. You know what I mean? They're like if Tucker Carlson
like you and
interviews
I would never
Glenn
do
Beck.
That.
Glenn, no, uh-uh, no. Glenn Beck interviews Tucker Carlson. It's an interesting, yeah. Well, we do the same thing.
That's one of the things that marks this phenomenon known as talk media.
Yeah.
Is that if there are no newsmakers, let's talk to each other.
Yeah.
You know, talk show hosts make the greatest guests because they know how to play, you know, they know how to volley. I remember once covering Manchester, Connecticut, the night before the primary. Manchester, yeah. Vermont, New Hampshire. Do you remember those? We'd all go up there, radio
rows.
Oh,
yeah, I remember those. Yeah, we used to do that all the time.
And the streets, it's like Mardi Gras. It's like a political Mardi Gras on the streets of Manchester. Every corner has a different rally going on and all that. Really heck of an electric environment. Sometimes there'd be nobody to interview. So all of those shows that were interviewing each other. Yeah.
I know that. Yeah, I remember that. That's for sure. All right, continuing on now, in a moment, we'll find out who Michael has in the circle, the MH interview circle for this week here on the Talk Radio Countdown Show. All right, so you have on the MH interview this week a very interesting fellow who's been around for quite a long time. I'm glad you're talking to Danny Lipford. What'd you learn from him and what's his whole deal?
Well, I learned that Danny Lipford is a pretty bright guy. He's a contractor who also has nationally syndicated radio and TV shows about home maintenance and home improvement. And I tapped into him for his view of the economy because so many people, they're tied to the economy in a big way is their home ownership. And with inflation and all of the stuff going on, people care about that. So basically, it's a conversation about how your kitchen can be the key to you having a retirement fund. Do you take care of your house? What are the things you have to look for if you're selling it, buying it, and all of that? Plus, the supply chain really impacts the home improvement industry and construction. It's a fascinating conversation about the news of the day from the perspective of home ownership.
His program is called Today's Homeowner, Danny Lipford, with Michael Harrison on the MH Interview at mhinterview.com. You can find it at Talkers as well. It's 10 before the hour. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
The Talk Radio Countdown.
Talk Radio Countdown Show continues now with my friend Stephen J.J. Wiseman, who's an attorney. Yep, and he's still my friend. He's a lecturer in law and taxation at Bentley University. Swell guy, smart guy. And I give him condolences because he posted on his social media the passing of his dog. And I know how close you were to your dog, and we've been talking about it a little bit. Just, chin up, think about the great stuff, the good advice that you get from anybody who cares for you and cares with you is that it was great and important and what else can you say? I mean, they become part of the family And they rightfully ought to, because most of them are better than most of the humans that we encounter.
I think that couldn't agree with you more.
All right, let's get to some of these things here. Fact or fiction? Because you're not only involved in the law world, but you've done this great service on helping people with scams, identity theft, et cetera, et cetera. I know you teach that also at Bentley College, but the whole scam business getting more polished, if that's what it is. The IRS is also, I don't know, this almost feels like a scam. They're tracking payments over $600 on PayPal and Venmo. I don't think they are. I think that somebody else is, right? there are people that are following all of this stuff, and you don't know who the hell it is. So what do you make of this?
Yeah, I mean, like you say, the sophistication now with so much of what we do is online and done through technology. Mm-hmm. And there are some very, very sophisticated cyber criminals who are able to take advantage of that. And so what happens is, yeah, they are tracking payments. And what happens is you may be getting an email or a text message about a payment that you know you made or something, financial transaction. Yeah. And, of course, it's bogus, but you end up responding, clicking on a link that can download malware or providing information that makes you become a victim of identity theft. And, you know, my motto is, trust me, you can't trust anyone. Whenever you are asked for personal information or to make a payment in response to a phone call, a text message, or an email, you've got to confirm it. You really have to assume that it could be bogus, and you've got to confirm legitimately. I'll tell you a good one I just saw yesterday for the first time. A really good phishing email, supposedly coming from Chase Bank, and it said, there are phishing emails going out that may affect you, so check here. And I'm going, good for you, you sneaky bastard.
Sneaky bastard. And now, speaking of that, phishing scams, there's one to watch out for. If you are using a parking meter and you see a QR code, don't use it, because they're not putting those. Somebody walks by, puts a sticker on there, you're using it, and he's getting or she's getting your credit card and charging you whatever they want to charge you, and it's not going to the city. You can be sure of that, right?
Yeah, you know, this is one. I've written so many of these things before they hit the mainstream. And months ago, I wrote about this, the QR codes. And they're very, very helpful. But again, people are assuming they're legit. And the ones on the parking meters, whoever would think that there would be criminals that would be able to do that? So what you got to do is, when you do go to a parking meter that has one of these things, get your finger on there and feel around to see if this is the only one, the only QR code that's on there, or is this one over another one? And that you've got to protect yourself. Let me tell you quickly, though, one thing in regards to cyber that I haven't seen in the news, and we should be. Russia has already started a cyber attack against the Ukraine. Now, whether they will go in there with military, who knows? But they have taken down a number of websites from the government, and even are putting up notices, be afraid, we're coming. So cyber warfare isn't the future, it's the present.
Now, right. And that pertains to our number six story on the list from talkers this week. Our relationship with Russia seems to be predicated now on what's going on there. Can you imagine just this little guy having the chutzpah and the ability to do what he wants to do, basically? That's what he wants to do, it, and so therefore we're going to do it. Good God.
Yeah, flabbergasting.
Stephen J.J. Wiseman here, the college professor from Bentley that specializes in law and teaching on all sorts of things. All right, Steve, have a good weekend. Stephen J.J. Wiseman with Doug Steffen at 59 after the hour.
The Talk Radio Countdown Show is a production of Steffen Multimedia, produced by Bob K. Sound and Recording.